You're listening to the MLB At The Plate podcast. We're giving you the best content from each episode of MLB At The Plate. MLB At The Plate airs weekdays from 7 p.m. to midnight Eastern time on TuneIn.
Welcome into the MLB At The Plate podcast. I'm Holden Kushner. Today I'm joined by J.P. Arencibia. We're going to start the podcast out with the MLB At The Plate Triple Play, which is where J.P. and I discuss three topics that interest us. Tonight, our triple play consists of discussions about the Rockies trading for Pat Neshek, some of our favorite trade deadline deals in history, and the future for Padres reliever Brad Hand.
The MLB At The Plate Triple Play.
We got some breaking news here, and what were we saying earlier tonight? That I was saying the Diamondbacks need bullpen help, and the Rockies need to add an arm in their bullpen because some of their guys are getting tired. And the Rockies, reportedly, this just came down over the internets. Patrick Saunders, long time, been covering the Rockies for the Denver Post, reporting that the Rockies have landed Pat Neshek from the Phillies for three minor leaguers. So Pat Neshek, I love this move so much. Neshek is having a remarkable season. He's called him a sinker baller, right? He's got that funky delivery. He's got a 1.12 ERA and a 0.82 whip this year. He is just having a spectacular season. 45 strikeouts, 5 walks, and 40 and a third innings. This is a great move by the Rockies, and this is really going to help put them in a position to get to the playoffs. Love this, love this, love this. Rockies PR just came out with it. It is official, and the Rockies have Pat Neshek. This is a great move by the front office there.
Yep, I would call him more of a sidewinder. He throws from that low arm angle, which is tough. If guys can perfect it, it's definitely a tough angle to hit. He has perfected it in the sense of success, and so very, very good piece. And again, for me, the best thing that you can do right now if you're a contending team is add to the bullpen or a frontline starter.
All right, so here's the three names that are going back. And if you are a diehard minor league baseball guy, you'll know some of these names. Infielder Jose Gomez is going to Philadelphia. And again, Philadelphia just trying to acquire more and more talent. So you got Jose Gomez. Alejandro Requena is going over to the Phillies. He's a right-handed pitcher. And probably the best name of any pitcher out there right now, J.D. Hammer. Dude's last name is Hammer. Love it. Yeah. J.D. Hammer.
He's got to have a good breaking ball for sure.
He's going to Philadelphia. So good stuff there. Love it. Absolutely love this deal. Congratulations, Rockies. I think this really solidifies. Again, their bullpen got off to a great start. I think we saw some wear and tear there. And now you're lengthening your bullpen out even more because you got some young starters and the season wears on. I'm standing up and I'm giving it. Good job, guys. Good job getting this deal done. Love it. And it's something that the Diamondbacks should have done that the Rockies did do.
Yeah. Nope. It's again, if you're serious about it, this is the moves that you make. You want to solidify those bullpens, man. And again, I just don't understand how teams, AKA the Nationals, made this such an amazing team, but forgot one of the most important parts, if not the most important part for a championship caliber team.
Yep. I might like this move more than any move that we have seen so far in the trading season here this year. Now, I love what the Yankees did, Todd Frazier, but they got those two bullpen arms. But again, I don't think it's being talked a lot that the Rockies needed that bullpen arm. I thought it, the Rockies thought it, and they did it. Now, the Eduardo Nunez deal was pretty interesting. That one came down on Tuesday night, and the Red Sox picking up Nunez, third baseman, really played all over the place with the Twins, came up in the Yankees organization, having a good year this year, hitting over 300, plays stellar defense, a little bit of pop. He gets on base a lot. And in return, the Giants just trying to get better and younger, and Sean Anderson, who was used out of the bullpen of the University of Florida, throws mid-90s, they got him. They got a 17-year-old by the name of Gregory Santos, a right-hander, so, you know, low minors upside guy, and a couple of guys in return for Eduardo Nunez. And there you go. Those are the two big deals. Love the Red Sox side of that deal, too. And this Neshek thing is not going to get the most press, but it's probably my favorite move so far. Very shrewd, And that's what the Rockies needed. Boy, you know, right now, Mike Rizzo can look at the Rockies and say, you know, we didn't get Greg Holland. They were in rumored to be in the mix for Holland. And, I mean, now you got your seventh and your eighth and your ninth taken care of with Neshek. Good stuff for the Rocks. Now, I was just looking back at some trade deadlines past. You go back 5 years ago. Remember 5 years ago? Do you remember anything that happened 5 years ago? Well, Ichiro got traded at the deadline in 2012.
Oh, yeah. I do remember that.
He went from the Mariners to the Yankees for Danny Farquhar. That trade went down.
Yeah.
There was a monster deal between the Tigers and the Marlins. Was that another year? Was that the year the Marlins decided to have another sale? I mean, basically, Anibal Sanchez and Omar Infante, and the Tigers got him, and then the Tigers ended up giving nobody in those deals. I mean, it's very interesting looking back at some of these. The Dodgers dealt Nate Eovaldi, you remember him?
Yeah.
And Scott McGuff, I don't even remember him, for Hanley Ramirez and Randy Choate.
Randy Choate, talk about lefties. This guy used to come in the game, and the lefties used to all run away from the bat rack. They hated facing this guy. Remember, he was big for the Cardinals, and he was big with Tampa when Tampa was winning. He was a good bullpen piece for a lefty. Talking about lefty specialist, he was very good.
Yep, and then you had, what else? We got the Giants and the Rockies, Marco Scudero for Charlie Culverson. Just going back to the Hanley Ramirez deal, though. So that must have been another year that the Marlins kind of sold off. The Dodgers getting Hanley Ramirez, and that was a Ned Coletti deal, 2012. So he gave up Eovaldi and McGuff, I think is how you say it, for Hanley Ramirez and Randy Choate. What a last name, Randy Choate. How about this one in 2012? The Angels traded Gene Segura for Zach Greinke. There was a couple other players that never made it to the bigs, but Gene Segura from the Angels to the Brewers for Zach Greinke. And here's the report. This is from CBSSports.com. Segura, who's just 23, has been one of the most productive shortstops in baseball this season, could be a cornerstone talent for the Brewers. If you'll remember, he had a great rookie season, took a step back, actually had two subpar years, had a son that passed away. It was a very rough time he went through. And he's a legit star now in Seattle. I mean, he's turned into a star. The Brewers got Zach Greinke in 2012, and they ended up finishing third and not getting to the playoffs.
Yep, he is an absolute superstar, Mr. Segura. Signed a long-term contract. So, I mean, I guess both teams got good players.
How about, do you remember the trade the Blue Jays made with the Mariners in 2012?
Blue Jays that we made with the Mariners.
Yep, because you were on that 2012 Blue Jays team.
I was. Mm-hmm. Let me think.
Steve Delabar, okay, I'm just going to throw out. Steve Delabar ended up going to the Blue Jays. Who went to the Mariners?
Steve Delabar to the Blue Jays. Was a position player to the Mariners?
Yep. And he was an outfielder at the time. He's now a first baseman.
Yeah, Adam Lind?
Eric Thames.
Oh, Eric Thames, that's right. Thames went over there.
2012 trade deadline, Thames to the Mariners.
That's right. Gosh. See how much my mind, how good I am at. I'm like an elephant. I'm just,
that's
I can
good.
Remember everything.
And here's the other one. This is on deadline day, July 31st. Rangers trade Christian Villanueva and Kyle Hendricks to the Cubs for Ryan Dempster. Mm-hmm. Dempster was not even mentioned. He was. He was mentioned. Hendricks. Will the Rangers regret parting with Hendricks? The 23-year-old is thriving in AA. Yeah, I think they made a little mistake there, didn't they?
Yeah, I didn't even realize he was in the Texas organization. I thought he came up with the Cubs.
And the last one, the Giants trade Nate Sheerholz and Tommy Joseph for Hunter Pence. Tommy Joseph has turned out to be a stud, by the way.
Well, he was I think at that time, Tommy Joseph at that time was a catcher and was the top-rated catcher in minor league baseball at that time.
Must be a typo then, because it said right-handed pitcher Tommy Joseph.
Yeah, it's
he yeah, was got to be a typo.
Yeah, he was a catcher, and he was a big-time hitting catcher, and he got concussions, so he had to stop catching, and that's why he moved out to first base.
So that's the 2012 trade deadline. You had some neat names in there. Kyle Hendricks, Gene Segura, Tommy Joseph, Andy Ramirez.
Pull up my favorite trade of all time, and I still talk about it, is the Cespedes one to Oakland.
Well, that had to be, I'm trying to figure out.
That's 2014.
Where I was living.
That's 2014.
Was that recently?
Yeah, 2014, because I was on Texas.
Well, that was the Lester deal, right?
Yeah, Lester, all those guys.
Lester, and then the A's went down the tank.
Yeah, and then they picked up some Marja as well from the White Sox, I'm pretty sure. They picked up Lester and Samardzija in that trading deadline.
I mean, that wasn't even the big one. July 31st that year, David Price goes to the Tigers. Austin Jackson goes to the Mariners. Drew Smyly, Willie Adames, and Nick Franklin to the Rays. The Rays did not get a good return for David Price that year.
Well, Smyly was putting up big-time numbers. They got Nick Franklin, which ultimately they just got rid of. Yep. And Adames. I don't even know who Adames is.
Exactly. A's and Red Sox. It's July 31st, 2014. John Lester and Johnny Gomes and Cash to the Red Sox for Yoenis Cespedes. The Red Sox get Yoenis Cespedes. Yeah. The A's get Lester and Gomes and Cash.
And then they made a trade with the White Sox to get Samardzija, I'm pretty sure, as well.
Oh, wow. I mean, it's this, you know, we always talk about, we have this quick reaction to break down the trades as they happen, right? Well, now we're looking back. We actually have a chance to see, you know, who won these trades, who didn't win these trades. And Samardzija was back on July 4th. So this was way before the trade deadline. But it was Samardzija and Jason Hamill to the A's. The Cubs got Addison Russell, Dan Straley, Billy McKinney, and I don't know who the player to be named later was.
But think about that. So they went Hamill, Samardzija, and then they added Lester to already good pitching staff. Right. And then they fell apart.
And the Cubs got Addison Russell.
Yep, which that ended up being huge for them.
I think the other trade, and I got to find this here. I think there was a Lackey trade for the Red Sox. That wasn't a big one. Oh, the Andrew Miller deal. Now, if you'll remember, Andrew Miller going from the Red Sox to the Orioles because the Red Sox were not doing so hot, and the Red Sox got Eduardo Rodriguez, and it took Rodriguez a little while to get going, but he's turned into something pretty decent.
Yep.
So those are the big deals that went on back then. There's one deal in 2014, and the guy's name, I mean, this he had to be a low-level minor leaguer. The Marlins got Jared Cozart, Kike Hernandez, and Austin Waits from the Astros. The yeah. Astros got Jake Marisnik, Colin Moran, and Francis Martes. Think about this for a second. Marisnik, who, you know, he's one of their swing, he's like their fourth outfielder. Colin Moran, one of their top prospects, we just saw him come up. He busted his face on a foul ball. And Francis Marte, who is, I mean, he could be a massive trade piece or a big part of their bullpen or their rotation. That trade in 2014, completely under the radar, the Marlins gave up Marisnik, Moran, and Martes. Well, and it took 3 years to finally pay off for the Astros, but it's here.
Well, we gave up in Toronto. We gave up the freaking farm for Burley and Jose Reyes. And we got crushed in that trade. And we also got crushed when the Darno and Dickey trade, and everyone was talking about Darno and Dickey, and I said, dude, the stupidest thing we did was give away Syndergaard. Well, that was pretty dumb.
I mean, he would have helped last year, no doubt about it, but look where he is right now.
Yeah, but that's fine. I mean, you still have a freaking front-line guy.
Well, what year was that? Was that 13?
2013. We got rid of Hechavarria. We got rid of Nicolino. We had a lot of good starters that we gave up, young starters. Marisnik was in that trade. There was a pretty big prospect-laden trade back to the Marlins that ended up being very good players. And then Darno and Syndergaard for Dickey.
Mm. Yeah, I'm looking at that 2013 deadline right now, too. Jake Peavy was on the move to the Red Sox, and there was like a million different prospects that were thrown out there. It was a three-way deal. Avisail Garcia was in that one. He ended up going to the White Sox in that trade.
2000. The trade I'm talking about was in the offseason of 2012.
It was the offseason deal.
Yeah, so it was an offseason deal that came our way. But I mean, if you look at like lopsided trades, I mean, Dickey ultimately kind of, he was okay, but I don't think they thought they were getting the Cy Young Award winner. The best part of that trade was Mark Burley coming to Toronto.
By the way, the 2013 trade deadline stunk. That's the worst trade deadline ever. I mean, there was nothing going on that year. So we'll see what happens. I mean, we're here at the end of the week. It's already been a busy one. It's already been a very busy one. And then we just looked at three deals. How many of those prospects really panned out? And there's been no superstars to come out of that. I mean, Gene Segura is a pretty damn good player, but we just went through 3 years worth of trades. How many of these prospects really pan out? Which is why I'm saying, you know, if you got a chance to get a big name to help you get to the playoffs, I mean, very rarely are you going to give up Jeff Bagwell for Larry Anderson, okay? That's just not going to happen very often. Nope. But the really good GMs figure out a way to make their teams good and hold on to their big prospects. Like Mike Rizzo today was talking about, he's holding on to Victor Robles. Victor Robles, you don't know who he is. He's in the national system. That's their big guy. That's their carrot. Bueller for the Dodgers. Bueller. They're not giving him up. He's untouchable. You can't do it. I go back to Ned Coletti. He did it multiple times. Everybody wanted to trade Seager to go get somebody. Didn't happen. Nope, not going to do it. They wanted him to trade Bellinger. Nope, not going to happen. Didn't do it.
It's funny, on my group text with my former teammates at Tennessee, one of them is a front office guy with the Cubs, and the other one is a head, one of the top scouts for the Padres, and he was coaxing the Cubs guy to say, hey, when are you going to come and get Brad Hand? So it was kind of funny to be watching, to be listening or reading that conversation. It was cool.
Oh, that is remarkable insight right there. You got a buddy that you played with that's in the Cubs front office and a scout for the Padres, and they're going back and forth in your group text. Oh, that's awesome, man. That's a great story.
They are trying to get rid of Hand because the one thing was, hey, why don't you guys come and get Hand? Because I asked him, I said, are you guys going to get another starting pitcher? And that was the response was the Padres scout going, why don't you guys come and get Hand?
Of course. I mean, they have no reason to hold on to Brad Hand.
Yeah.
Seriously. There's just too much of a market now for the bullpen. For bullpen arms and solid back-end bullpen arms. And the Padres are going nowhere. So go get yourself some talent. Absolutely. Now, you know, the Cubs team, I just think anybody could use him, really, at this point. Maybe, you know, Kansas City seems to be setting a bullpen. They're fine. I still think the Nationals should have looked at and gone after Brad Hand, too, because I don't think they've got a good enough bullpen. I think, you know, Doolittle and Madsen have had a great season. Doolittle's had some major injury issues, and, you know, I just want to throw as many arms out there as possible and have a fight to the finish on a three-headed monster, and whichever you guys win, let's go with you in the playoffs.
Yeah, no, you know what I mean, you're going to think that I'm crazy, but I actually would think Hand to Houston would be a huge pickup because I don't trust Sip for the lefty matchups, and if you go into the playoffs, let's say comes down to not even the American League playoffs. Let's say they make it to the World Series and now you're facing the Dodgers, right? You're going to need a big-time left-handed arm out of that bullpen because there's too many good lefties on that team for LA. So you need to have – I feel like that's a big, big part. You know, the Yankees, they had Boone Logan. There's different – you know, some guys – I just think that it's always – that's why you look at Cecil. Why did Cecil get so much money for the St. Louis Cardinals? Well, because they realize how important a lefty specialist is out of the bullpen. I think that's something that would completely solidify Houston's bullpen, like just shut no one else is doing anything.
I mean, seriously, of all the contenders, you tell me a team that doesn't need it. The Yankees went out and they fortified their bullpen. The Royals have done the same thing. I mean, the Royals were sitting pretty anyways. Besides for those two teams, who does not need Brad Hand? Really? I don't think you can name a team that would not be much better that would end up getting him. It's every single team could use that guy, and he's just got – you know, Swarzak yesterday, the trade going to the Brewers. What a great – we talk about off-season signings. How about that signing? You know, the Braves went out and got Colon and Dickey and Garcia with the eyes of, hey, once the trading deadline comes around, we'll go and trade him. I don't even think – there's no way that Rick Hahn could have thought that, you know, Swarzak was going to do what he did for them this year.
Nope. I mean, so good that he actually was trade bait. I mean, that's the season he's having already was reaping benefits for the sign. Now he even became trade bait. So that was a pretty cool job by their scouting department.
You think the Dodgers could use another arm in their bullpen?
Yeah.
They've just been so dominant, and it's tough to find a weakness. I don't even want to say that their bullpen is a weakness. I mean, Kenley Jansen's just been remarkable. You know, Baez is the human rain delay. He'll put you to sleep out there. And you know what else? How about your boy Brandon Morrow?
Yeah. Sneaky.
Oh, my goodness.
Sneaky acquisition.
He's got a .71 whip and 19 two-thirds innings, and he's staying healthy to this point. But yeah, here's another team. Now, maybe there's a little intra-division tax there with the Dodgers and Padres. But even if it's another arm, I think the Dodgers are another team that could use a little bit more fortification in their bullpen.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, listen, J.P. Howell, they have him for the lefties. I just think you need to have that left arm, and that's why I'm glad KC went out and got the lefty out of San Diego as well, because that's a big part. Look at a lot of power hitters. There's a lot of big bats. I mean, I remember in the American League, how many times were you facing David Ortiz? That the guy, literally the left-handed in our bullpen, was getting paid so that he can face David Ortiz, because there's going to be times where he's up and the game's on the line and you need to have that lefty. It's crucial, because if you don't and they're facing a righty, I mean, that's two games, three games, whatever, you might lose because of that. And in the playoffs, you can't afford that.
And I'll also say this. I think that the other two teams, the division out west, you were talking about Buchter, the left-hander, but I think the Diamondbacks and the Rockies need to make a move in their bullpen, that they are not going to be, you know, real forces to reckon with in the playoffs if they don't go out and make a move.
Well,
that's what they need to
for
do.
Sure, the Diamondbacks. At least the Rockies have, you know, pretty good bullpen. Like, you have one of the best closers. There's some guys that are setting up there pretty good. But you go to the Diamondbacks, I mean, they've been kind of piecing it together. I mean, do you trust Fernando Rodney?
No. I mean, no. But then again, you know, every time I say I don't trust him, all he's done is be shut down since the beginning of April. You know, he had a couple of rough outings early, and since then he's settled down. Oh, and the Rays. Let's get back to the Rays here. Again, and we talked with Chaim Bloom, the GM. He's the executive VP of player personnel over there. Okay. So, is it Honeywell? You know, is that – did they throw a starter with five pitches in their bullpen? They got to do something, too. They need another arm in their bullpen, and you say that every single night we watch them play.
Yeah, and it's funny. I need to talk to that dude. I see him tweeting, and he's – he does. People, guys don't realize today he wrote
Bloom? Oh,
no, Mr. Honeywell. He
tweeted, Honeywell, yeah.
Ready as I'll ever be, laugh out loud. Everybody knows what that means. Yeah, like, you know what he's trying to insinuate, and all that does is make a team go, that's not what you need to be doing. Like, so I like the guy. He's great. He's got great stuff. Good kid. But I think, you know, he just doesn't – you don't want to put yourself in a position when now they're saying, like, well, you know what? We don't want to deal with immaturity, or this guy's not happy, or even make a story. Then have to have people answer questions, because then the Tampa Bay media picked up on it and wrote, you know, look at this, whatever. So he is a stud, but I don't know if he's ready, you know, mentally.
You're listening to the MLB At The Plate podcast, and we'll be right back with more after this.
TuneIn Festival VIP is in full swing. We've brought you down to Gulf Shores, Alabama for the hangout, and then went buck wild in the woods in Dover, Delaware for Firefly. The TuneIn Festival VIP series marches on. Next stop, Outside Lands Music and Arts Festival in beautiful San Francisco. We're celebrating the 10th anniversary of the fest with our brand new station, Outside Lands Radio on TuneIn, brought to you by Gildan. Hear music by every artist playing the festival this year and years past, including Lorde, A Tribe Called Quest, Queens of the Stone Age, The Who, and much, much more. And don't forget to join us for our live broadcast from Golden Gate Park in San Francisco, California, with choice sets from Outside Lands on August 11th through the 13th. It's time to get hyped. Outside Lands Radio is coming your way right here on TuneIn, your everything audio app.
This is the MLB At The Plate podcast. Here are your hosts, Holden Kushner and J.P. Arencibia.
There were 15 games on Wednesday, and to bring you up to speed on all the action, we got the best day ever, Home Run Tracker, and statistically speaking, it's time to talk about the guys we think were better than everybody else.
Best day ever on MLB At The Plate.
All right, who you got, Bro Chacho?
Well, for my hitter, I'm going to go first with my hitter because it's pretty obvious this guy deserves it. Mr. Eric Hosmer, 5-for-6, 5 runs, 6 RBIs, up to .319, the grand slam. Eric Hosmer, I mean, there's nothing. Drop the mic.
You're dropping the mic on Eric Hosmer? That's it? You're not giving me anybody to go with? Nobody else had a big night like him?
No, I'm just saying, you don't have to talk about it anymore. That night was nothing else to say. 5-for-6 with a grand slam, you're in.
Oh, definitely. That was a wonderful evening by him. I mean, I could go a few different ways. Cameron Rupp definitely threw his name into the hat tonight. But I'm going to go with a kid out in Cleveland. Not as aesthetically pleasing as your guy's night, but Bradley Zimmer. How about the home run in the first after he hit a grand slam last night, hit a home run in the first, and then he hit the game, the go-ahead double. And what was a great game tonight until the bottom of the seventh, but he hit the go-ahead double. Bradley Zimmer, rookie, Cleveland Indians center fielder. Best day ever. Love what he did tonight.
Well, and this guy that I'm about to give the best day ever to for on the mound, there was actually quite a few options today that I thought were good. But I've never heard of this guy. And the A's continue to just develop good starting pitchers. His name is Paul Blackburn. He went 7 innings, gave up 2 hits, 3 walks, punched out 3 guys, and his ERA is sitting at a cool 2.25. This guy's 23 years old and just another arm that the A's developed through the system.
I like it. I like that a lot. I'm just going to go Aaron Nola, though. He shut down the Houston Astros. I mean, listen, Altuve still got his 2 hits, but besides for that, 6 shutout innings of 4-hit baseball, 10 Ks and 1 walk. Aaron Nola, congrats, dude. And he said goodbye to Pat Neshek, who was traded to the Colorado Rockies for 3 prospects. So, big night for Aaron Nola.
Very big night.
Let's move on to the thing that we call the Home Run Tracker.
MLB At The Plate Home Run Tracker.
Let me just start with the farthest home run. We had some bombs tonight, by the way. Domingo Santana, now, they said it went 476 feet. There's no way that ball that Domingo Santana went 476. So we're not giving him the longest home run of the night award. We're not. I mean, I'm using the eye test here. StatCast has been wrong quite often. Giancarlo Stanton, 468 feet, longest home run of the night. Abe, are you okay with me overruling StatCast on this one and just using common sense? Yeah, forget it. Yeah, that's 468 for Giancarlo Stanton. Oh, I said 476. StatCast didn't even do it. All right, longest home run, hardest hit also. Giancarlo Stanton, 112 exit velo. Steven Souza Jr. ties Stanton with the highest exit velocity at 112. His home run went 447. Jonathan Scope, 440. Wow, there were some shots today. Longoria went 402. Didi Gregorius, Todd Frazier, Adam Duvall, all going deep. Rafael Devers of the Red Sox goes deep against the Mariners in Seattle. Hit one 427 and 109 exit velo on what was just a pristine, perfect day in Seattle. It's a perfect, perfect weather there. Whole month of July and August. It's gorgeous in Seattle. No rain. Sandy Leon went 360. Ketel Marte had an inside the park home run. J.D. Martinez hit a pair of home runs. His first went 441 and 109 off the bat. It was smoked and hit deep and far, and J.D. Martinez went 410. Bradley Zimmer hit one 412. D. Gordon, Christian Yelich, Nolan Arenado all going deep. Arenado's went 385. Marcus Simeon, Paul DeJong go deep. Cameron Rupp hit a pair. His first went 384. His second, 106 off the bat, 425. Daniel Murphy, 375. Michael Franco, 330. And Luis Valbuena hit one 438. Sometimes 438 will get you in the lead, but not tonight. Adrian Beltre, 402. And he had 3 hits. He got to within 4 hits of 3,000. Then he got ejected. JT Realmuto going deep. Eric Hosmer, his grand slam went 408 and 103 off the bat. Lewis Brinson, 461 feet, 108 off the bat. Lewis Brinson hit a 461-foot home run for his first home run. Yeah, Justin Smoke.
That was hit far.
Yeah, it was hit very far. Justin Smoke tied it in the ninth, 416-foot blast. Kendrick Morales walked off with a 359-foot shot. Manuel Margot, 424. Once again, I just want to say it again. It was so majestic. Giancarlo Stanton, 468 and 112 exit velo. Yoan Moncada had his first home run of his career, 417. So you had Moncada, Devers, Brinson, all three guys. First home runs in the bigs. Tonight, Alan Hansen, 349, Yasiel Puig, 394, and Addison Russell just hit one, 375. Addison Russell is primed to have a big second half. He's hitting the ball well. I like what he's doing right now. Home run. Let's look a little deeper into the numbers.
Statistically speaking.
We are speaking statistically here, and JP, D. Gordon's home run snapped a 413 at-bat homerless streak. His last home run was in the Marlins' first game after Jose Fernandez died. Paul DeJong hit his 14th home run in his 49th game. The only Cardinal with more home runs in his first 50 games since 1920 is Albert Pujols, who had 16. So tomorrow, if DeJong hits two home runs, he'll tie Pujols for the most home runs in Cardinals history through 50 games. It's a nice stat. I like that. What else? Bryce Harper extended his hitting streak to 18 games, fifth longest for the Nats since the franchise moved to Washington in 2005. Altuve also has an 18-game hit streak. Chris Sale leads the majors with 13 double-digit strikeout games this year. Pedro is the only Red Sox pitcher with more in a season. He had 19 back in 99 and 15 in 2000. That's how dominating Pedro was. In the heart of the steroid era, that guy was striking dudes out left and right. Rafael Devers' first major league hit was a home run in the third. At 20 years and 275 days old, he's the youngest Boston player to hit a home run since 1965, and that was Tony Conigliaro. Eric Hosmer, first player in Royals history with five hits, five runs, five RBI in a game. He drove in six. And since the calendar flipped to July, Yu Darvish has a 7.20 ERA, had a 3-1-1 in the first 3 months of the season. That's it for the MLB at the Plate podcast. Make sure to join us on MLB on TuneIn at 7 Eastern each weeknight for MLB at the Plate. During the daily five-hour show, you'll not only hear all of what you heard in the podcast, you also have the chance to listen live to the games and get in on the action as it happens. For Abe and Dustin in the LA studio and JP Aaron at CB alongside me, I'm Holden Kushner, and we'll catch you mañana.
Thank you for listening to the MLB at the Plate podcast. Catch us every weeknight on TuneIn, where we take you around Major League Baseball with live listenings, analysis, player interviews, and much more. Plus, be sure to check out our other great content on TuneIn, featuring the very best in sports, music, news, and talk. On TuneIn, get caught up in the moment with more than 100,000 music stations and 5 million podcasts from around the world. Exclusive sports content, including live MLB, NFL, NBA, and NHL games, and 24/7 news coverage from CNN, MSNBC, and Fox News Radio. Tune in, your everything audio app.